Okay, everyone, Wednesday the 6th of March, and this is the morning briefing from the Celtic Way. I am Hamish, we've got Tony, and Ryan has joined us again after several days in the wilderness, contemplating Celtic life after Sunday. How are things, Ryan?
Yeah, things aren't too bad. I've enjoyed a couple of days off to sort of just detox from all of the sort of discourse going on. Still been watching in the background and reading plenty of stuff and watching the podcast, obviously. But yeah, it's nice to have had a wee break. But I'm back now and I'm ready for action, basically.
I was just thinking about the channel in my spare time yesterday, which shows how much it's taken over my life. But I was thinking about the names we see every day here, Tony. Every day, the same names. You know, Helen yeah. and Robert and Pete McGee and
Love.
They sign on every day and show their support and comment away. It's a wee part of their day, the legends.
Are we thanking them for that? I've said that before. It's not lip service that we pay. We've built up a strong and cracking community in the Celtic Way. And you do see the regular names, and that's why we flick up their comments a lot. We like the discourse because I've always said it's how we learn as well. It's how we get better by exposing ourselves to all sorts of opinions. And I like it, and I like the people that are on here, you know. I remember Jock Green famously saying he liked managing Celtic because he liked the people. I like doing the Celtic Way because I like the people that come on here. So it's, kind of similar
thing. Going down the Celtic Way is nothing without the fans.
He's just a cracking quote. He just said, I like being the boss here because I like the people. And I always stuck with it because I thought, that's brilliant. You know, and yeah. I'm not saying I'm the boss. I just like being on the Celtic Way because I genuinely like the people. And I've often said as well, I like young Ryan. I like working with him, and I like working with your good self as well. So it's all good.
Yes, thanks everyone for your support. You're great all the time, but especially in days like today when there maybe isn't a hell of a lot happening, there's always comments coming in that I can bring up and we can kind of get the conversation going that way. We're kind of in a bit of limbo at the moment. We've had Sunday. I think we're beyond most of that, although we do have a wee thing to discuss. And then we're moving on Scottish Cup this weekend, which is a bit different, I guess. The pressure's always there at Celtic, but it's a different pressure, I would say, this Sunday away from the league action. First of all, unsurprisingly, the Yang red card appeal that we'd lodged with the SFA was dismissed yesterday. Celtic Club spokesperson said, "We have received notification that the club's claim has been dismissed. Clearly, we are surprised and extremely disappointed at this decision." And Yang will now receive a two-match suspension for any competition that we play in, so he'll be missing for this weekend against Livingston and then St Johnstone the following weekend. Not really a surprise, Ryan, and we move on without Yang, I guess.
Yeah, I'm disappointed most of all for the player, because the player looked as if he was getting into a good bit of form, a good bit of consistency. He looked really dangerous in the opening stages against Hearts as well, which makes it all the more disappointing. You'd be disappointed anyway if you're without a player, because you're planning for without them. Maybe gives other players an opportunity to come in and state their claim as well. But two games is annoying. I would have preferred if it was just a single game. I get how the rules work, but it was a contentious decision. For me, in my head, you can't have a contentious decision in two match ban. It's either no punishment or just a game's punishment. I know how the rules work, but at the same time, I'm disappointed with that. I can see both sides of why it was given and why it maybe shouldn't have been given, but I'm more disappointed for the player than anything. I like that Celtic have stood their ground and supported the player and supported the player's cause as well, but you know, it's two games without him. I'm not sure, does that count for the Scottish Cup games as well?
Yes. Scottish Cup and St Johnstone, I think he misses, is that right?
He'd be back for Livingston away, which is good. It could be an important game, especially away from home. So yeah, two games without him, disappointing. I would have liked to have seen him playing on Sunday, but it gives somebody else a chance to come in, gives Kuhn a chance to maybe come in and make a name for himself, gives Palma a chance to maybe come in. So there are options, but I'm disappointed for the player because I think he looked really, really positive the past 3-4 games. It's just a bump in the road for him. I'm sure he'll be fine, but you know, he's got to sit these next two games out.
Yeah, Patrick, just wondering if that's a standard ban. It is. You get two matches for
serious foul player, whatever
it would go under. It's just a standard two match. I looked just to make sure that the St Mirren player who was sent off against, I think Ola Sanya, his name was, and he got a two match ban. So that's just the way it goes. And yeah, he'll be missing for a couple of games. CJ saying it's a big blow. He was the only winger who actually looks
useful. I think it will be.
Thank you for translating. Yeah, it looks useful at the moment. I would probably agree with that. But as you say, it's an opportunity. William wondering if Kuhn is the replacement. Tony, I'll pass that one over to you.
Well, I tell you what, I think everybody's personal jury's out on Kuhn, isn't it? Let's be honest. Not seen enough sample size from him yet, but what they have seen, they've not been particularly impressed with. Not having a go at him, it's just what you're watching with your own eyes. He impressed briefly against Aberdeen when he looked to make things happen and he got the deflected goal. And that's it.
Great after that.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't it? Yeah. That's it. That's all you've seen from Kuhn. And, you know, he said himself he was a bit of a speed merchant. He liked to take people on. And yourself, Ryan and myself are sitting going, really? Okay. Do it then, because we've not seen much evidence of that. And I questioned the wisdom of him starting in the starting lineup at Motherwell. It was one of the things I said when we were doing the pre-match. I said, I don't think Kuhn has done enough to merit a start. But again, I was basing it off the manager, maybe seeing what he liked in training, go with that. And he reverted to type in the Motherwell game, didn't he? He did absolutely nothing, didn't influence it at all. So the lesser of two evils for me would be, I guess, Palmer. Because Palmer, I think, has got something in his locker. And
he can play in the right, can't he? He can shoot from distance.
Yeah, and he scored Atletico from the right as well. So as long as he stays off the penalties, I'd stick a Ramida on the next one if they get one. But yeah, it would probably be Palmer for me over Kuhn. But I agree with Ryan, and I think everybody's in agreement that Yang was coming onto a game, wasn't he? And that was what was so disappointing about Sunday. The sending off negated that left side, because against Dundee it was very potent, wasn't it? Johnston and Yang linked up well, set up the majority of the goals, or the goals are coming from cross balls, which is what we've been desperate to see. Yang is off, and then that negates Johnston as an attacking outlet as well, because he was too busy, with 10 men protecting, doing his defensive chores and duties. So it was just a real double whammy. The player looked pretty distraught as well. So, shame, you know. But he'll be back in two games. And I'm quite thankful, actually, that it's a cup game and he's not missing two league games. So I think they can cope with him for Livingston and St Johnstone, and then welcome him back and just say more of the same.
It's just been such a season for like a player getting up a wee bit of form and then bang, something ridiculous happening. Usually an injury, a red card in Yang's case. It's just the whole squad. There's never been an opportunity for a consistent run, has there? It's just been non-stop. And I'm not making excuses. I mean, some of it has been self-inflicted, but our work has been cut out in certain aspects this season because the amount of injuries and daft things. And again, I know you can look at Yang's red card and go, right, you stuck your foot up, you probably shouldn't have, you know, given the ref a chance to send you off, etc. And I know a lot of people think it was a red card, but it's just been, from a fan's point of view, Ryan, it's just been like one step forward, two steps back all season type idea.
Yeah, and it was like that with contracts as well. It was quite funny in that way that it seemed as if players signed a new contract and then the next game they get injured. It was a contract cost kept on turning up, which was unfortunate. But yeah, there's no consistency in the team whatsoever. I think Brendan Rodgers has named the same team at most three times in the season. You know, there's been so many changes in every single position, apart from goalkeeper, you would say. Every other position has seen change. You look at the striking position, Ida, O and Kyogo, you know, all throughout the season. The midfield, Cal McGregor's now out, Hatate's been out long term. Matt O'Reilly's been probably the one constant in the midfield that season. You've had Bernardo coming in there, you've had other players too, Odin Thiago Holm playing a couple of games, he's Turnbull too, yeah. The fullbacks, every single position, there has been changes apart from the goalkeeper and Matt O'Reilly, you know. So apart from those two players that have been ever present this season and have both been quite good this season as well, may I add, there's been constant change, and it's so bad for squad continuity that you need to know, as much as I don't believe in a best 11, because I think that you do need to rotate in some games, the amount of rotation that's had to be done this season has been unrealistic and unideal for the team, and it's costing them, because if you don't know what your best team is, apart from maybe rotation one or two players, then you're going to have that rustiness between players, and it's been difficult to catch any sort of steam or get ahead of steam in any games because of those amount of changes in the game and in each game for whatever reason, whether that be injuries or red cards. So yeah, it's disappointing for Yang, but you know, it's, as I said before, it's an opportunity for other players to state their claim. Maeda can even play on the right, and Palmer can go to his favoured left side. So there are options. Yeah. I guess it's up to the manager for that one. But if it was me, I wish it was Yang playing on that side, because he really was catching up with the rest of his summer signings, or the rest of the good summer signings, and being a valuable asset on the pitch.
Yep. There's a motion growing arms and legs, guys. I don't know if you've heard this. A couple of comments to illustrate it. Ross, get Kyogo on the wing and another midfielder in, and Patrick saying Maeda on the right, Kyogo on the left maybe. Is that a viable option, having Kyogo probably on the left-hand side? What do you think?
It's an option, because I believe he played there for Vissel Kobe, didn't he?
So I know, he can't do start.
It. Yeah, you know, so it's certainly an option. I just don't know if the manager would deploy him there, would he? But I'm like you, Hamish. I actually thought Celtic played better when Kyogo came on Sunday. And I still maintain, I want to see Ida and Kyogo through the middle together.
And they look to me too. Like they had a genuine bit of kind of a relationship there. Yeah.
And I think now's the time to do it, when you don't have, you know, Yang in the team, and you're still unsure about the form of Kuhn and Maeda and Palmer. So I just think it's crying out for Ida and Kyogo to be the two spearheads in attack. I could be wrong in that. I want to see it. I want to see if what we're thinking is right. And I know the manager is kind of maybe loath to do it, but I just think he has to try something, because I still maintain that if you get the ball to him, Kyogo's the most lethal striker in Scotland. He's the best striker in the country by a mile. You know, so you have to play a style that suits his needs. And I do think that I like a lot of what Ida brings to the table, because I think he can hold the ball up well, and I think he could play him in as well. And he's shown in from the sample size that we've seen, he's got real game intelligence.
Yeah,
okay. So I just like to see the two of them play side by side. Is that too much to ask?
We've not kind of properly seen it. Yeah, I mean, Sunday was the first example, wasn't it, Ryan?
See, for me, with 10 men, I would have liked Celtic, and this is going back to Sunday's game, and I know we don't want to talk about it too much, but I would have liked to have seen what they did against Livingston and put Maeda and Kyogo up front. If that means sacrificing Ida, then so be it. But that sort of chaos ball up front, putting those two sort of mobile strikers up front and just trying to get in the pockets and get some space and trying to get the ball whenever they can, you know, if they'd adjusted it slightly, because it worked against Livingston. I know it's a step up in quality against Hearts, but those two really worked well together when it was 10 men, when it was Kyogo and Maeda. You know, at the start of the season, everybody was talking about, is Maeda going to be the striker? Because Brendan Rodgers says his best position's through the middle. And since he said that, I don't think he's played him through the middle once. He's played him on the left or on the right, depending on where he's required. So I'd quite like to see that, because it's something that Brendan Rodgers clearly rates in the player, that to play through the middle and be that focal point up front, or be one of the focal points up front. But if you're going to play with two up front, I'd like to see Kyogo and Maeda personally. But Ida's a good option as well. I thought he was good at the weekend, apart from, you know, his dreadful penalty. You know, if you're putting it down the middle, put some power in it and make sure that the goalkeeper can't save it. He didn't do that, and the goalkeeper saved it. Obviously, Xander Clark had his trademark good game against Celtic, which happens once or twice every season, it seems like. But yeah, I'd quite like to see Maeda and Kyogo up front, to be honest.
We're over it, Ryan. We're over it. We're moving on. We're over it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm totally over it. But
we see that John Beaton off the hero.
I've got to remember, guys, I've not been on since Sunday afternoon. So yeah, and there's food for thought with the striking positions. You've even got O that could maybe come into the equation, but then again, how far is he from, you know, starting games at the moment, given Eden and Kyogo are now in the team? So yeah, it's definitely a congested position at this moment in time.
Yeah, I don't want to go overboard because there really weren't many positives on Sunday, and I don't know if I'm just trying to see positives where they weren't genuinely there. But I did think there were a few instances when Ida and Kyogo really kind of looked quite lively together, and they were like, there was a few instances where the ball would come and Ida would step over it and, you know, dummy and get the ball back from Kyogo, and I was looking at it going, this may be because you're against, you know, a Hearts team that's been relatively adventurous and is, you know, 2-0 up in the game, and it may be different when you play Livingston's bus on Sunday afternoon. But I think there's something there to work with, and I really thought there was a relationship building between the two of them. I don't think Rodgers is going to play the two directly up front, though. I think if they do play together, it'll be Kyogo in midfield.
Yeah, I think that as well, but I just love to see it. Because like you, I was looking at the two of them, especially the two of them on Sunday when Kyogo came on, and I was looking at how they linked up, and I thought, you know, there's something there. You know, I genuinely thought there was something there, and I would just love to see it. I would just love the manager to see it as well and to try it. And then if it doesn't work, so be it. But again, it's what I want and what the manager chooses to do are two completely different things most of the time, aren't they? So there you go.
Maybe one day, Tony. Maybe one day you'll be entrusted with that job. Paul, 5 tickets secured for Sunday. Full family out into paradise. Great stuff, Paul. Enjoy your Sunday, and good for going along and supporting the team. Hopefully a positive result. What kind of crowd are we expecting for Sunday? It won't be full, but, you know, I think people, it's not as if we've got midweek games at the moment, so people are probably going to want to see Celtic in action.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with how many people went to the Bucky Thistle game, so something around about that sort of attendance-wise would be quite good. I'm just hoping it's as full as possible, because you don't want the players to think that they're not being supported by the fact that people have maybe chose against it because it's a cup game. You know, there's still that same level of interest. You're just hoping that people want to go to the games rather than watching it on the telly. For me, it's just another opportunity to go and watch Celtic in the flesh, and that's one of the reasons why you would go to a game. You'd much rather that than watching it in the house if you've got the opportunity to do so. So I'm hoping it's about, what, 30,000-40,000. I think that'd be a good sort of showing. Thing is, it's two Premiership sides going against each other. It's not as if Celtic are playing lower league opposition, although that might be the case come the end of the season. Yeah, absolutely. That's if they don't pull off a great escape. I don't really see that happening. But, you know, stranger things have happened, I guess. But yeah, two Premiership sides for now. Hopefully it's a good turnout from both sides. It's a cup game, and the crowds make these cup games, so you're hoping it can be as busy as possible.
Yes, Mark bringing up a 3-5-2 potentially. How would a 3-5-2 work? Who would our three centre-backs be, etc.? Would you have Scales, Carter-Vickers and Welsh?
Johnson plays there for Canada. He can play as a centre-back for Canada.
You'd have who as your wing-backs? Taylor and...
Taylor and Ralston.
Mark, talk us through your team, Mark. I'm intrigued to see how your 3-5-2 is shaping up. He does say wing backs instead of wingers. We'll maybe come back to that. JJ saying, would you rather Home or Bernardo? I think I saw a follow up comment saying he means Home or Kelly here. So Home or Kelly. I'd rather Home. He couldn't be any worse than Bernardo, as he has been an empty shirt lately, and at least Home is our player. So I think he means Home or Kelly at the moment. Do you think, is Kelly someone you would give a start to soon, or is he, you know, going to be settling for bench appearances?
I think if you're going to start Kelly, you would start him on Sunday, wouldn't you? I don't think it's too much of a risk, is it? I like the look of him when he came on against Dundee. He took his goal exceptionally well. And I think you have the feeling that you can take care of Livingston at home, can't you? I'm not saying it's a gimme by any stretch of the imagination and the way Celtic have been playing this season, but I think if you're going to reward the youngster with a start, it would be in the Scottish Cup at home to Livingston. I think with, you know, experience around him to guide him through it and talk him through it. But again, Kelly was someone who I liked when he came on against Dundee, and then he came on against Hearts, and I thought he looked okay as well. So he's earned the right to be there and earned the right to, you know, get these valuable game minutes. So why not throw him in against Livingston? It's not exactly something that's outrageous, is it? He's been training with the first team for a while now, and as I say, made a couple of cameos here and there, and Brendan Rodgers likes him. So I think that would be the biggest, you know, the biggest sign that Brendan Rodgers trusts the player and he's got every faith in him if he named him in the starting 11 on Sunday. And that wouldn't surprise me. You know, just freshen it up a wee bit. And, you know, it's an academy player, and everybody loves to see an academy player, don't they?
He did it at the end. We need.
He did it at the end of his first spell when he threw Ewan Henderson into the starting lineup. I remember did he not start against Motherwell in Brendan Rodgers' last game? And then he started in the first game under Lennon at Hearts. And then I think he played against, I think he was at Ollie Buck school, or was it Ollie Buck that maybe passed it to somebody else? I can't remember for sure. I remember the goal.
Ollie Buck was involved, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was very much involved in the build up. There's a comment I want to bring up, and I didn't think I was going to talk about Alexander Pavlovich on this podcast this morning. 19-year-old boss at Munich last night, start Kelly on Sunday. If you're good enough, you're old enough, in my opinion. If you're old enough, you're good enough. I completely said that the wrong way around. One job, Brian, and you've messed it up there. But yeah. Alexander Pavlovich, absolutely. I can get that part right.
I've never even heard of him, so I'm obviously falling out of touch.
19-year-old holding midfielder for Bayern Munich. He started last night in place of Joshua Kimmich, and he bossed the game for 90 minutes. So if you're good enough, if you're old enough, you're good enough. I'm going to get that one right this time. Always get them mixed up, you know, the two things. I'd like to see Kelly on Sunday. If he's got the opportunity to start, then yeah, why not? It's a cup game. Throw him in. See if he can bring some positivity. I like the fact that he took a booking on Sunday as well. He didn't allow a counter-attack to happen. He understood what he had to do, as I say in every podcast. He understood the assignment. He took the guy down instead of letting
him go. Robertson understood the assignment as well.
That's another argument. We're over it, Hamish. We're over it.
We're definitely over it.
He's giving me a stinking here, and that's what I was saying. You know, if he is good enough, you know, then play him.
You know my thoughts. Right. I've got a vested interest because I know the family, because I grew up with them. So it's like, yes, play him. I'd love to see Daniel Kelly start his first game for Celtic. I know how much it would mean to his family as well. But I think he's earned it if the manager feels that he could cope with a game like that. And I think certainly if you're going to give Daniel Kelly a start, it would be Livingston at home in the Scottish Cup.
Mark has come back to us. He's explained his team. Well, part of it, he says, Welsh, Carter Vickers and Scales will be the defence, with Johnston and Taylor as the wing-backs. And then I guess you would go, you'd have 3 midfielders and a couple of forwards, who would be Ida and Kyogo. I don't think that's something we'll see. I wouldn't be against it, though, to be honest.
No, I
just want to see those two playing up front, because I think... I don't think it's sustainable to leave Kyogo out, to have Kyogo not playing for Celtic. I know he's been poor this season, but I still think he's one of our leading players. But equally, Ida has to play at the moment, so I think you have to try and find a way to get those two, you know, in the team together. This one as well, Robert saying, I believe Calmac has another scan today, so hopefully get good news in that front soon. We really need him for the run-in. I think we're expecting him to miss the weekend and St Johnson, and probably Scotland's games against, I think it's Holland and, or sorry, the Netherlands and Northern Ireland. So hopefully McGregor back after that, because we need him for the run-in.
Yeah, I think the manager said on Sunday, didn't he, Ryan, that he would have the scan midweek. He didn't think it was too bad, but if he misses games for Celtic, he said he would miss game for Scotland. So I'm assuming that's exactly what's going to happen, Hamish, and that gives him that time. The international break gives him that time to fully recover and be back in time for the crucial games in the running.
Anything else, anyone? Anything else you want to bring up? Anything you two want to bring up? Is there anything else happening? Anyone said anything ridiculous in the media?
Apart from Abada's old club's president coming out and saying stuff about the Celtic fans that, you know, I don't know where that's come from. But, you know, all those accusations, has it come from the player? Has it come from something that he's heard? But, you know, the fact that there's talk that Abada's been, you know, sort of abused in the streets verbally with stuff. I'm not a, you know, we've got absolutely no proof of this happening whatsoever. And we can only speak for what's happening on the pitch. And when he came on against Rangers, and I know he's finalising his move to Charlotte, he'll probably get finalised today or tomorrow. Yeah. But when he came on that park against Rangers, that was the loudest cheer out with the goals, was Abada coming back onto that pitch. So I'm hoping that, you know, you're hoping that these aren't lies. Yeah, it's terrible in one way. You're hoping that, you know, there is some truth in what he's saying, because lies would be even worse, you know, to put that on people. It's just that it's an awful situation, this, and I'm glad that it's getting resolved for the player and everyone concerned, to be honest. It's been too much of a sideshow, and yeah, the sooner it's finalised, the better. He's been a good player for Celtic, but I think going to a new place is better for the player at this point.
I guess it's good that it was dealt with, as you say, by the club. I mean, after that Easter Road game, that was clearly the tipping point for Brendan Rodgers, and in terms of, you know, Abada continuing to play for Celtic. It was clear at that point that it wasn't going to be sustainable. And to be fair,
the moment Brendan Rodgers said his head wasn't in the right space or place, that was the beginning of the end, wasn't it? When your head's gone, that's it, isn't it? You just think, it's not going to happen. I think everybody saw the writing on the wall then. And the narrative, to quote Brendan Rodgers' word, that's come out about Abada and the reasons for him leaving is, quite frankly, a slur on the good name of Celtic Football Club. And I think the club have to come out and address that at some point soon for their own purposes and their own ends, because if they don't, it'll just be open season. So you have to nip it in the bud. Great piece of business for Abada, but I think Celtic, they're duty bound to say something on behalf of people who are commenting in our Celtic Way comment section today, and in duty bound on yourself, Hamish, myself and you, Ryan, because I've not witnessed any of this supposed abuse for Lille Abada. And I think the club should come out and say something about it. Just address it, and address it once, and then everybody can move on. But I think the player leaving the club is the best thing that has happened. But you cannot have people slur the good name of Celtic, and that's what they're doing now.
I think what we can say...
outrageous.
Sorry, Tony, I just think what we can say is we can't account for every single individual instance, because each person is each person, and they might say something that doesn't correlate. But that was a generalisation made by that president of Abada's former team, Maccabi Petr Tikva.
Yes.
I think that's the name of them. I can say that, but I can't say the good enough, old enough or whatever. You know, it's so selective. But if it's a generalisation of the supporters as a whole, then Celtic have got to come out and address that, and address that completely. They've got to support the supporters here.
Yeah.
But you can't talk for every single supporter. You know, off the pitch, someone could say something that's out of line. Someone could have one opinion, and then they say something that maybe doesn't correspond with the club or correspond with the vast majority of fans. But yeah, it's a difficult situation, and I'm just glad it's one that's getting dealt with. Celtic are getting good money for a player that's not playing at the moment whatsoever. You know, he's a designated player. He'll get good money at Charlotte. He'll be working under Dean Smith. So, you know, all the best to him and all that. But I'm glad that it's getting finalised one way or the other.
Yeah,
sums up how I feel. Yeah, we move on. Monty, Iwata not good enough to play CDM. He is a passenger and won't grab a game by the scruff of the neck. Selling this summer.
He had one bad game.
He did struggle at the weekend, Iwata, but I think it's important we don't do this whole, like, Iwata's now out and there's now, you know, a clamour for Odin Thiago home. Like, I want to see Iwata back in the base of that midfield at the weekend. I know we got another comment in saying Matt O'Reilly should play there again. He did play there last season, but for me... For me, you need to stick with Iwata. It was a bad game. He probably was affected by giving away the penalty I mean, the play when he gave the ball away for the second goal that was ruled offside was awful. Don't get me wrong, I was calling him every name under the sun at that point because it was really frustrating, but I still want him in the team on Sunday and get a consistent run.
I just wanted also to flag up, I've written a piece on the website today and it's about the whole siege mentality thing that Brendan's been talking about, and I'm saying how Sunday could actually galvanise Celtic big time, because I think this week has been one of the worst weeks ever for Brendan Rodgers at the football club, hasn't it? Or the past couple of weeks, he's been accused of misogyny, being a dinosaur, you know, casual sexism, you know, he's watched his team, you know, lose the chance to go top of the league from dubious decisions, let's just say. So you think to yourself, okay, he's lost a player for two games, a vital player who was hitting a bit of form. You know, he'll probably recite it himself for comments that he's made by calling referees incompetent. So you talk about that siege mentality. If Brendan Rodgers and the Celtic supporters didn't think everybody was against him, they certainly will this week. And I was quoting the old Shankly saying that when Steen had these players, you know, and he gets them to do everything that they can do well, it's a form of socialism without the politics. I was talking about the Celtic collective. It's in that piece. It's a powerful thing when it's channeled the right way. And I think Sunday could turn out to be, and the week after, i.e. this week, could be a good thing for Celtic in terms of the title race, because you do just sort of knuckle down and think, well, we're going to have to do this ourselves. Nobody's going to help you in that sense. You're going to have to just look deep within yourselves and dredge it out and get it over the line. And I said it could couch it, and there was an old political satire programme called That Was the Week That Was in the 60s. And I'm talking about from Sunday onwards, just look back at that and think, okay, that was the week that was. Let's do it. Let's get into it and just collectively come together. And that starts on Sunday as well. And just everybody, the fans as well. I think it could be long-term beneficial to Celtic, because I think everybody knows now we're in it ourselves. We have to just, there's a lot of possible, people would say, external factors at play. Make of that what you will, but Celtic are going to have to do it all on their own, and I trust them to do that.
Yeah, you're hoping that galvanisation off the pitch is happening now between the supporters and the manager, and the galvanisation on the pitch, just what you were saying about Iwata. I don't think there can be too many changes. Yes, I would make a couple of changes, maybe enforced here or there, but Iwata's got to stick. And Celtic have got to get used to with him playing. One bad game doesn't make you a bad player. Iwata's had more good games for Celtic than bad games since he's joined. I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, and let's see how he kicks on from here against Livingston on Sunday.
Oh, just every game at the moment's exciting, guys. You're looking forward to every game, and I know you don't know what Celtic you're going to get, so I guess that's part of the kind of weird feeling you get before these matches. But I'm looking forward to Sunday. You know, it's a chance to get back to Hampden, Celtic Park, and you know, it's separate from the league, but it's also a chance to get back to form ahead of you know, St Johnson coming to Celtic Park a week later. So yeah, things can change very quickly. That's the one final point I would make, that the weekend showed us how you can go from one mood to another mood and back again a few times over the course of a weekend. So there's a long way to go this season. A long way to go for us as well. We'll be back this time tomorrow to chat about what's happening with regards to Celtic. Thanks to MPH Group and Navien for sponsoring this video. Navien Boiler, Winter Boiler Promotion. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I'm trying to get it right. A Navien Winter Boiler Promotion on the go from MPH Group. Plumbing, heating, kitchens, bathrooms, you get flexible finance options and more. We nearly need to get me a script, guys, for tomorrow, because that's just...
I'll help you
anyway, out. Anyway, check out those legends. Thanks to them again for sponsoring this video. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Thanks, guys. I'm saying far too many thanks. I'll speak to you this time tomorrow.